We're shaking. It's the Fan Morning Show. I'm J.D. Bungus. A-list four far, Blake Murphy. Here with you for four freaking hours.
Holy.
Oh.
We signed up for the heavy workload. No load management over here.
I was told you were going to do all the work when I signed up.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Yeah, you were told that Blake was going to do all the work?
Yeah. Come on, Blake.
He was told I was going to do it all.
Help us out here.
Three suckers in the early morning with the rest of you farmers. Good morning, good morning. It's the Fan Morning Show.
The rest of you farmers.
Yeah, that's what I like. I can't imagine anybody else waking up at this time. Like
construction.
What?
I see them every morning on my walk here. Yeah. Just a little head nod. Yeah. They're like, this girl's not off to the construction site. Little work boots. Nikes.
No, maybe they think, they don't even think you're the foreman. The foreman shows up and has the work boots too.
Yep.
Steel toes.
Not
anyone.
The foreman's in the truck, like scuffing up his work boots, trying to make it seem like he's doing work.
Yeah. We see you, foreman.
I'm talking about a specific friend right now. I won't put him on blast, but he's going to a bricklaying site right now, and I bet he's
listening.
He's about to, I don't know if he's listening yet, but he's about to fake how much work he's doing.
So that
his guys don't get too upset with him.
That little rules rat. Just ready to dime on his fellow man, his fellow colleague.
Yeah.
Brutal.
One thing I do notice on my walk here in the morning is how many parking tickets are placed overnight. And I count, like this morning, I counted almost six or seven on my short walk here of cars that were left overnight. Like,
have you ever seen anyone get towed?
Not
it's
in the mornings.
It's such a brutal feeling watching it. You feel like you're watching a crime happen
should we say something?
Yeah, like you should step in because you know how horrific it is. Have either of you ever been to like a tow yard?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, and you've had to, oh my God.
Is it crazy?
I
hope I never have to be there.
First of all, it's like, it's one of those things where they just make up this just insane price where they're like, yeah, we towed your vehicle. It's $500. And you're like, what?
So,
and then they're like, oh, we have to charge you for the longer we leave it here and how we hold it in this huge lot we have. Oh, it's just racking up the fees back there. The vehicle is
we got to feed it. Yeah, we got to clothe it.
Yeah, we got to take care of it.
So that trip that I mentioned the other day with my dad and my brothers where we saw Nickelback.
Oh, yeah. the divorce trip.
Yeah, we came out. We were in Montreal at the end of that. And we came out of something and the car was gone.
Oh, no.
Because the signs were in French, I guess. My dad.
That's what your dad said.
My memory's like, a little fuzzy on it. Yeah, I was like 15. But
yeah, he gaslit you. He's like, the signs were in French, Blake.
You haven't been taking French classes.
Je ne parle pas français, Blake.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have a big red circle with a line through
it, no parking.
That's a lot different
that
in French.
That doesn't translate.
Yeah, the picture of the tow truck on the sign. He's like,
but it's
what?
A French tow truck.
Yeah, he's like, what could this mean?
But yeah, so we had to like find our way to a tow yard in a city we didn't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably had the best French in my family, and that is I could order off a menu. So Boutine. Trying to be like, where is the tow yard?
Yeah. He's one
Dude,
of those guys.
Where's my car?
Large bear.
I never watched it in French.
All I know is that when you get there, it's always someone behind the glass that all day long people have just been yelling at, and there's no plea. It's almost like the application for person that works in the tow yard is soulless, like a heartless person who has been beaten down so much that nothing can. No, I'm telling you, you can't make a plea to their humanity. It's just
the other possibility though is, have you seen Better Call Saul?
No.
Yes, of course.
Yes, okay. Guys, I've seen that one.
So
yeah, that's good.
The backstory on Mike Ehrmantraut is that while he's doing the fixer stuff on the side, he's a parking lot attendant. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would be the same for a tow yard attendant where it's like, you do this because you have to have an on-paper job that you have to explain how you have money, but really you're a fixer or you're some other...
Oh, you wouldn't
You're some
think
other
that.
Cool job that will get activated at some point.
Yeah, you would... I think that parking attendant compared to that person is like infinity better job. Just again, any person that shows up to see you at the tow yard is having a horrible day. Like it's the worst day of the year for them. They're out in some industrial section and they didn't get there with their car. They had to ask a friend to give them a lift, or they had to take a bus, or they had to take an expensive-ass cab or Uber. Mm-hmm. And then they show up, and they're like, is this the place? And they greet you with like, yeah, it's this is the place where you give us $1,000 because you parked in the wrong place for 10 minutes or on the wrong side of a street or whatever. Or we picked your car. It was just your unlucky day. Now beg us through this glass, beg us through the glass only for us to tell you like it's $600, yeah. Sir. How will you be paying? That's it. No, it's
$600. I rushed here. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got the early pickup fee then.
No, it's awful. It's true.
There's
truly
the late
awful.
Fee, and then if you don't get the late fee, you get the early pickup fee.
So speaking of
early
big money,
I was gonna say speaking of early, there were no Raptors or Leafs or NFL games last night, and I called it on Gonzaga UCLA early, so I'm fresh today.
Nice.
Must be.
Yeah,
nice.
Gonzaga UCLA. Thank you for that. I was all excited.
Thanks, Chet.
Yeah, Chet. Is I can't get into this right now. Don't talk about
all
this.
Are you going to talk about the name, Chet?
No, it's just like this guy's body is the... I've never seen a guy like him. I've never seen a guy like that handle, mm-hmm. that skinny, that frame, that just the way he moves. It's like a horror movie where you're like...
He's Slenderman.
Yeah, he is. You're like, what the hell is this?
Slenderman.
But wait until you meet Wemby when it's Wemby's draft year. Yeah, the French kid that I had hyped up to you earlier.
Yeah, I know. Like I already said. Sure.
Yeah.
No.
French
7-foot skinny guy. I'm sure he's going to be the best. Okay. So, speaking of no more negotiating.
Yes.
Steven Matz.
Yes.
$44 million.
Possibly as high as 48.
Possibly as high as 48.
Oh.
To the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's per Jeff Passan of ESPN, by the way, broke that. That was the first thing I saw this morning.
So, up to 8 teams involved. And obviously one of those teams was the Blue Jays. And we'll dive into this with John Morosi further at 8 o'clock today. But I think a lot of people are already wondering what happened here because they had the ability to negotiate with him first and exclusively. And they chose not to, or they chose a different strategy anyways. Who knows exactly why this is? Again, John will have more information. He will shed more light on this, but here's the actual takeoff of this. I was surprised to see the angst of Blue Jays fans over Matz because everybody sort of came into this offseason with, okay, you got to land one of Semien or Ray, and then it's going to be probably some trades. Some little bit of depth pieces around free agency, but the Blue Jays did their big splashy free agent thing a year ago, and if they do a big splashy free agent thing, it's likely going to involve someone from in-house. All of a sudden, the free agent pitching market started to move immediately, like way before I had ever anticipated it. We were all sitting around here and it's like, oh, Eduardo Rodriguez signs. Oh, Noah Syndergaard signs.
Dave Sclafani.
Right. All of a sudden, names start popping
Verlander.
Off the board.
Yeah.
Verlander, another guy who was linked to the Blue Jays, and then he ends up staying in Houston. And the scuttlebutt starts to become a little bit more, hey, you know, maybe the Jays won't get Ray or Semien. That those guys are going to have pretty hefty markets. And if you're looking at the way that these starting pitchers are going to get paid in concert with the Barrios deal, hey, no sure thing that the Jays are bringing either of these guys back. All of a sudden, people are starting to look to Matz and they go, well, where are this team going to shore up those extra arms? Are they really going to have Ross Stripling in the middle of the rotation? Are they really going to lean on the potential for Nate Pearson? I thought that the plan was kind of to have him as a trade chip. And I'm a little surprised at how all of a sudden we're back to kind of who we are as Blue Jays fans, which is people who are a little bit anxious and a little bit unsure, despite two straight off seasons where they have landed major, major, major big ticket free agents.
So I think some of this is just the psychological effect of sequencing, right? Where if the Matz deal happens today and Barrios isn't done yet, and then later today the Barrios deal comes out, people probably feel better about the entire situation, even though it's the same outcome. If the Jays sign Robbie Ray now today, obviously no one will care about Matz. There's a lot to come still. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a part of this is there's been a mini frenzy. We mentioned a couple of names, and even names like Andrew Haney are coming off the board already. So, yeah, it can feel a little bit like, hey, are you missing out? Is the leverage going to change on these guys? Now, at the same time, money's coming out of the market, right? Like, money, spending power is coming out of the market. And
4 years, 44 for Matz was intense. I won't, like, didn't you guys not
feel
that?
Yeah, and I also thought the term was a little bit long.
The term's the big one. So, and per Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet here, that the Jays talks with Matz were serious and there was legitimate mutual interest. You know, had you told me before free agency that Matz would get 4 years, I would have been like, okay, that's not with the Jays.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inconsistency in the track record. He's coming off a very good year, and he's had some really solid years in 2018, 2019, even 2016. But this is also a guy who has been borderline out of the rotation at multiple times in his career, or, you know, temporarily asked to pitch out of the bullpen a little bit. So the term is the big one. When Fangraphs does their contract estimates heading into the offseason, I don't think they would be too upset by this, Matt. They had it at anywhere from 3 years, $38 million total, to 3 years, $42 million total. Mm. If you're talking 342, that fourth year is only an extra $2 million over the life of the deal. It's not that big a deal, but that was also the high watermark of Matt's projection. So I think the fourth year is a big thing there. You know, had you told me 3 years, $30 million total, I think the Jays would have been maybe interested in that. But there's an element here, and this is hard on the fan side, because you're just kind of sitting on your hands and you have to have faith, but there's a little bit of keeping your powder dry. I don't think 444 for Mats is the move that you feel pressured to make. Like, I think a deal of that value for that type of pitcher is there later in free agency if you miss on the other big stuff and have to circle back to the Mats tier.
When I looked at the stats quickly just to see how he was before the Blue Jays, his 2020 campaign was awful. I know it was a pandemic, shortened season, mm-hmm. but again,
bumped
not
the bullpen.
Great. Yeah. And then last year he had one of his most heaviest workloads. He pitched, or he threw more than 150 innings and more than 140 strikeouts for just the third time in his career, behind only his two best seasons in 2018 and 2019. So he was projecting upwards, had a bit of a dip, and that's the thing that is less intriguing for me when we're looking at those acquisitions or re-signing him. I'm not super concerned that this happened, but as you mentioned, it kind of depends on what move happens next for the Blue Jays.
Right. And, you know, we talked about with Robbie Ray, hey, how much term are you willing to go? Right. And what age does that take you to?
Right.
Mats is 30. He'll be 31 fairly early into next year. So this deal is taking him through the end of his age 34 season. And, you know, we talked about with Ray, and, you know, we looked back at Marco Estrada of like, hey, if the age 34 season is something you have to tack on to get the value on the earlier end of the deal and get the deal done, that's not mm-hmm. a big deal for a guy coming off a Cy Young Award.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy that until maybe midseason you weren't 1,000% sure was going to stick in the rotation, I am less worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that Jays fans are really fretting that it's Mats. So I liked Steven Matz, but I really did think that Matz was still a guy that you're bringing back on a 2, max 3 year contract. And really, I'll be honest, had the Jays signed Matz to this deal, I wouldn't have been happy. I'm happier that they let him walk on this. I think the bigger issue here is that it's starting to feel a little bit more desperate to me that they bring back Robbie Ray. Because mm-hmm. here's the remaining, you know, quote unquote, big ticket starting free agents. Kikuchi, he's 31 years old. And frankly, I've lived that experience, having been a guy who pays attention still to the Seattle Mariners. And I'll tell you this, like, I never look forward to Kikuchi pitching beyond his like first 2 months with the Mariners. And then I was like, oh, he's just whatever. Corey Kluber, I don't think he's coming here. I don't think Corey Kluber is going to leave the Yankees, frankly. I would guess that they bring him back, but he's 36 years old. Alex Cobb, 34, someone who I know the Blue Jays had interest in the past, and someone that maybe you can get on a cheap flyer on a shorter term contract.
I was going to say, he's the option of the Ray thing doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
The second tier, like, hey, who's the next Robbie Ray we can kick on?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work out. Let's throw more at a 1 year than that 1 year is worth, but
sure,
we're buying the short term. And we'll re-enter the market next year. That's what Cobb represents to me.
Sure. And you know what? It feels a little bit more like that's the idea, because I don't think the Jays are in on Kershaw or Scherzer. Let's be honest here. Like, those are pipe dreams. If that ends up happening, great. But it'll feel exactly the way that I felt when the Raptors ended up getting Kawhi, where I'm like, well, if that's what the deal is, then
whatever.
I completely misread the entire situation.
Also, like, there's not... Like, this is an uncapped league, and it's a free agent, not a trade. Like, whatever, whatever. There's no bad contract for those guys. Well, there is, but it's high.
But that's it. The only other guy is John Gray. And this is where I start to look at it and go.
Blake's guy.
Yeah.
Well, but this is where
I go. You're not entertaining the Stroman idea anymore?
A lot of people are online. It doesn't stop.
There's no chance that Stroman comes back here. But there's more likely a chance of Babe Ruth coming back to life. They reincarnate him. He signs with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays win a World Series on the backs of zombie Babe Ruth. Then Marcus Stroman comes back.
Wow, that's quite the visual.
Sorry, not to just like, we could name names forever.
No, though. This is the end of the list.
Carlos Rodon?
I think this is my point, though, where I'm going with this, is that this is the list, and it's quite short. And I look at what the Blue Jays have in two more years of Ryu, now a long contract with Berríos, and I'm starting to think,
Control on Manoa, but...
I'm just saying in terms of where the money's at and how volatile pitching is, starting pitching, how it can be, especially given the way that they're looking at Ryu right now. And everybody's saying all the right things. Pete Walker came on the show, said Ryu's going to be better. He's going to compete more. Danny Jansen came on the show. He said that he thinks the rest is going to be big for him. All those different things. Signing serious money starting pitchers, having multiple guys go into those same years that Ryu is in right now, that doesn't feel very realistic to me. And that's why when I looked at that Mats deal, I wondered, okay, how many of these teams are being competitive? Why are there 8 teams in on this guy? Because it tells me about the rest of the market, which is pretty sketchy. Pretty sketchy where guys are probably going to be overpaid and overtermed because we all agree Matt's got too much term, right? More term than we would have thought.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the Cardinals are paying a premium on years for a guy like Steven Matz. Are you kidding me? That's where I think the anxiety comes from, is that if you're missing out on all the rest of these guys, you're probably talking yourself into a bad contract or something that is a real lottery ticket.
The fact that, yeah, you're totally right with the 8 or 9 teams are in serious conversation with Matz. And
you don't know them, though. They go to a different school.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the decision is expected to come. It was, like, the decision of Steven Matz, what's going to happen. That adds, as a fan, why? Like, are we missing out on something? Did we miss something? Is he the guy? But it is just the lack of depth in the starting pitching market. So as a fan listening, or for me trying to convince myself, hey, it's fine, but you got to hit on someone else.
So do you guys want my sell on John Gray or no?
Yeah.
I feel like we've gotten it, but...
You love him. He pitches in Colorado where the pressure in the air is less.
I just think that he's 30 years old. And so you can go get him, but you're looking at that Matz contract, and John Gray's not, I don't think, taking less than that Matz contract.
So John Gray reportedly turned down 3 years, $35 million from the Rockies, but then they non-qualified him.
It's cheap, cheap.
So that's it's a weird situation there where the Rockies are so poorly managed that it's always hard to read those tea leaves.
Maybe this is another question for John, though, which is that it really is starting to feel, from just looking at what these deals are, and I guess I hadn't really thought too much about deals beyond Ray before free agency started, but starting pitchers are seemingly getting more money than I would have thought, because the whole narrative was, hey, starting pitching means less and you got to build a bullpen and you don't pay guys who are in their 30s. And yet here we are. And a lot of guys who are going to be in their 30s.
Innings cost money.
Yeah. they're still getting paid.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll go quickly with John Gray, and I only want to hammer it because when you look at a lot of the free agent rankings out there from ahead of the season, him and Matz are really close together. So it's hey, these guys should get roughly the same amount of money and term. Like, they're close comparables for each other. They're only a couple months apart in age. John Gray, I think, has a little more upside. He doesn't have the numbers Matz has over the last couple of years. Some of that is the Colorado environment. Some of that is the Colorado stink on him. There's some deeper stuff that maybe makes you think John Gray, it's not just the Coors Field effect that makes you think John Gray could be a little bit better. You know, pitchers generally have to change their approach at Coors Field because of the way the ball flies too. And there's some thought from people smarter than me that he might have more bat missing stuff when he gets out of that environment, because it lets you work up in the zone a little bit more. Now, Rogers Center isn't the friendliest and the AL East isn't the friendliest, but maybe you can increase your ability to miss some bats by getting out of that environment where any risk is too high risk. The other thing is, he started using a changeup a lot more the last 2 years, and it's a pretty good pitch. And I wonder if he's a guy, he strikes me as a, not to be like the altar of Pete Walker, but he strikes me as a guy, as you look at what they've been able to do and help other guys with, mm-hmm. and it's not like major mechanical changes. It's more approach changes and philosophy changes. And a guy who has three good pitches and is maybe going to be freed up not only to use that new changeup to set up the fastball, but use that fastball a little bit more dynamically outside of Coors Field. I just think there's a little bit, if you're shopping in the 336, 444 kind of tier, I think there's more upside with a guy like Graisel.
I like that. I would only counter it with, in the second half of the season, 14 games, Mats had an ERA of 291.
Mm-hmm.
And I know wins are different, but he pitched to the tune of 291 and was just basically striking out a batter per inning this year. Mats is really good. Like
after June.
Yeah. I mean, he was really good basically all season. He started off extremely hot to the point where people went, there's no way that he can sustain this. And then he didn't sustain that. But then he just bounces back and he was dominant down the stretch. And I just don't want it to be lost a little bit here with the Mats thing, that there are two things at play here. One is, I think people are looking at it and saying, oh my God, now all of a sudden we're desperate. We didn't appreciate Mats enough because we were already looking forward to something like Robbie Ray and saying, lock up Robbie Ray. Who cares about Mats? Now that the Mats deal is done and Ray potentially could leave, people are looking at it a little differently, saying, oh, crap. I just love someone who's already proved it in the American League East over a John Gray type where it's, hey, this was Colorado and this was the National League and this was not a lot of leverage situations. This was not a lot of meaningful games. Like, Mats down the stretch in a Blue Jays run where they were really chasing for a playoff spot was, for a while, arguably their best pitcher.
August and September, he was tremendous.
On a team that had this kind of starting pitching, Mats came through in clutch moments and was an absolute studly stud. And again, I don't want the over $44 million contract. I wouldn't be on here today if he had signed here going, what a contract, what a deal. This is incredible. Now the Blue Jays
You'd be talking Toronto tax. Why did you have to give a fourth year to your own guy to keep him?
And I would have assumed that no one else was willing to give him the fourth year, and that's why Toronto kept him and blah, 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 blah. I'm a little nervous seeing that he got that from an organization like the Cardinals, but I'm also looking at it and saying, I understand that there is the Pete Walker thing happening right now, and that you just made a great case for John Gray. Everything that you just said, I was on board with. I'm like, let's get him tomorrow. Let's go get John Gray. That Blake's case is ironclad. The more times you reach into the, we can get the better out of this guy, the more regression to the mean happens where you go, well, not all these guys are actually going to hit.
Right. Some of them are Tanner Roark.
And exactly. And so to a degree, when I'm looking at the John Gray situations or guys that are outside of that picture that the Blue Jays might be interested in, part of me goes, well, I hope that there is some kind of a saving that gets put into a different area because Mats is the devil you know. Mats was incredibly good for you. And all of a sudden, it's starting to feel a little bit more like you don't want them to be desperate in a trade. You don't want the Blue Jays to feel as though they have to sacrifice something that they weren't really willing to do.
Or overpay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For starting pitching because they weren't able to hit on anybody in free agency.
And we're going to talk. We have Keith Law coming on at 9:30. We have John Morosi a little later as well. But Keith Law, I want to talk to him about, you know, Morosi's obviously the right guy to talk to about what's the feel of the free agent market and where the Jays are on that front. But as we've talked to Blue Jays people who have kind of suggested that, hey, the Berríos model, the Robbie Ray model of trade and extend is maybe where the Blue Jays will look here. We'll have Keith Law on at 9:30 to talk about where the Jays farm system is. And hey, after making those trades, is your farm system still in good enough shape to keep pulling from that?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you need to, you know, go more financial might than prospect might? So looking forward to that conversation at 9:30 and John Morosi at 8. The Leafs are back in action tonight. So are the Raptors.
Thank God.
Next to nothing last night, and we won't talk about the Canada-US game because
that didn't happen, right? We'll just gloss right over that.
I told you
please.
That's a win for me. Keep racking up those wins in the meaningless games, USA.
That's right.
Win all the games in a row. All the games in a row until it's Olympics, and then have all your confidence. Oh, we can't lose.
That's right.
And then bang. They're just bigger, though, eh? Like the American team?
Yeah.
It's like, You look at the two teams and when they're all out on the ice. And
it has a lot of young, speedy, short
They
girls.
Better be because they're tiny but, compared to the States. Like
when they get in a little tussle in front of the net, I'm like, Careful.
I'm
team all full of cautious.
Oh.
I'm like, where's the big ones?
Stay tuned Scott for Beijing. Spooner? They'll be big by then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was going to say. Somebody feed these ladies.
Like, protein.
Get them on the USA diets.
Anyway, that game didn't happen last night. The 2-0 loss didn't exist. The Leafs are back in action tonight. They've won 11 of their last 13. They're taking on Los Angeles Kings, one of the teams to beat them during this stretch. What do you guys, what do you care most about seeing tonight?
Oh, Kyle Clifford back in the lineup, eh?
Is he in the lineup?
No,
or just,
he got the call up. I'm kind of teasing with that, but that's exciting for him. He had some really nice quotes after he got the trade. He was excited to be back. He's a big locker room guy. The team loves him. Obviously, that's cute. I don't think he's going to be a big game changer for him. But
I don't think he's going to play.
No, but just the idea that, you know, it was just kind of a side. But I'm excited to see them on a West Coast road trip. It's been years since they played out on the West Coast and had to face these teams. It'll not be nice for us getting up or staying up till, I don't know, 1:30.
March 6, 2020 was the last time they were at West against a U.S. team, so not the Canada division.
But no, it's definitely a redemption game, in my opinion, because as you mentioned, Blake, the Kings are one of the only teams to beat the Leafs in the last couple weeks, and it wasn't close. It was a 5-1 loss. Remember that guy, Trevor Moore?
Nope.
Yeah, so this is the kind of opportunity to say that was a blip. We're a legit team. We don't lose to the LA Kings, who were on a hot 7-game winning streak when they came into Toronto. So now the Kings are on a 4-game losing streak. Feel a little bit better about tonight.
I think that actually the Leafs have played so well that the idea of them going into this game and being like, we got to get this one back after we let it down to this team is maybe a little lessened. Just like maybe it, like to me, this doesn't feel like they need to get this one. It feels like they just need to win 2 or 3 out of these next bunch of games. That's always what I'm looking at. I'm like looking at the opponents and I think to myself, okay, just don't come out of here with a losing record.
Yeah,
don't
win a road trip.
Don't come back with narratives like, hey, you're better at home. Mm-hmm. And hey, where's the goal scoring? Mm-hmm. But I think that's what I'm looking for anyways, is to see the second line start to have a little bit of pop. Because I think if it doesn't, we're going to be back in conversation zone of what are you doing with these lines and how are you shaking these lines up? Because if you look at the nerd stats, they would tell you that Tavares and Nylander have a lower expected goals for on the ice when they're together than their opponents, which is kind of shocking considering the discussions around Nylander at the beginning of the season and the early returns on Tavares when he was playing with Mitch Marner. And I know that some people said that, hey, he's a little overstated the way that he's playing with Marner, blah, 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 blah. But either way, Nylander, how many even strength goals do you think he has right now? Like just based
season,
on
for the whole season?
Yeah, like, does he have more or less than David Kampf?
Well, I'm going to say less.
Same. It's a trick question. He has the same amount of even strength goals as David Kampf, a guy who we look at and say has 0, 0, 0.
How many goals is that?
Three. Okay. Three even strength goals.
I was going to say like under 5. I don't remember that many happening.
Yeah. We got very excited for Nylander, and I still am excited for Nylander. Listen, he's a good player.
Well, he was good during the beginning of the season where no one else was good. He was like that saving grace that he continued to be consistent, but he's definitely been quiet since the other guys have come back into full form.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
I think with Nylander, he's playing okay, but he's not playing great, and neither is Tavares. They're playing okay, not great. Those guys are paid to provide offense, and this Leafs team right now is getting so much on the Kasha Kamp thing. That's awesome, but I don't really want to rely on those guys to be the secondary scoring line. I want to rely on Tavares and Nylander to be the secondary scoring line. To me, Marner is going now, and when Marner's going this way, it's just an eventuality that Austin Matthews is a shooting percentage anomaly. Like, I don't think Matthews has looked quite like Matthews, but I come on. Can anyone really pretend to be bothered by 34? Really?
I'm very much happy with that.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine, just fine, you know? And you look at the shooting percentage and you say, oh, well, that's the one. But the Leafs, the offense has not really been there. And I told you already, it would be disingenuous for me to say that it's this big concern for me because I think they're whooping teams' asses, and I think that they look really good. And if this is the problem, shooting percentage, then great. This is going to normalize. I think this is a PDO thing, a shooting percentage thing for the most part anyways. Like, they again, had an absolutely dominant performance in their last game and were not rewarded for it on the score sheet as much as like I thought they should be against the Islanders. That being said, the one little area of trouble spot is Tavares and Nylander. And if those guys don't start to score, those guys don't start to dominate a little bit more offensively given their opportunities, then I'm not going to be overly concerned because I think they're good players, but I am going to start to say, hey, you got to do something about this. And maybe there's some things that are a little bit more important than where Nick Ritchie slots.
So I guess that would be my follow to that would be, so what is the next thing you try? Is it getting Kerfoot off that line and trying someone else there?
No.
Or is it you flip Marner and Nylander again to try to get
something there? I looked at Engvall's stats over the last couple of weeks, and
LSU and I are going to be in a fight if you say what I think you're going to say.
I'm going to say that he's been bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they should put Engvall up there.
No. So that's what I was like, thinking last night, what could they possibly do if this doesn't really work out? And I thought, maybe Engvall gets another chance. But he has not been, he shoots a lot of shots, but not in terms of impact play. Have I seen him or felt that he has contributed much? That's why he's back on the fourth line. I think he's kind of just going to sit there for a bit and maybe make some stuff happen with Spets and Simmons. But they're not really asked to perform on the score sheet. So I don't see him being the solution. And Kerfoot's been okay up there. So I don't want to give Richie another chance. So it's that left wing is a bit hurting.
So
that's where Clifford comes in.
Engvall, where eventually Mikheyev comes in.
Yes. Hurry up, Engvall. Mikheyev.
Engvall to me is the whole discussion that we were having after the Islanders game on Monday where we went, what are actual high danger chances? This is a guy where they go, Engvall's leading the team in slot chances. And I'm like, yep. And he's bearing every one of those pucks right into the crest of the goaltender.
Why do you think the other team's not panicking when he's getting those?
Right. He's an anomaly. He's in the good spots. He's like, how does he get open so much? How does he get this puck on a stick so much? But then do nothing.
I think he is, he's a bit of an analytics darling, but he's the kind of player where people who watch the game get frustrated with the analytics community because they back a guy like that. And you say, he's fine. Like, he's an NHL player. Engvall is decent. He's not overpaid. He makes something like $1.25 million, I think, which is totally reasonable for a guy of his caliber. I think that he does a lot of things you like. And he's one of those, every once in a while, you look at him and go, he flashes. And you say, wow, this guy, you know, because he's got all the tools, right? But it's just, it's not all there. And he's a little soft. And his offense is not as dangerous as it should be given some of the looks that he gets. And some of his numbers really do get inflated by not only who he's played with, but the matchups he gets and the fact that he loves holding on to the puck and skating backwards with it, which boosts his possession numbers, right? So,
well, no, not really. Because we don't do time of possession. If you're just holding the puck, it doesn't help your possession numbers.
How does it not?
Well, because all the possession stuff is based on shot attempts.
Yes.
Well, I guess you limit shot attempts, but you got to take shots.
But that's it. But no shot attempts are happening against you.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. So my point is that I don't really see the rest of the lineup having some type of all of a sudden those are the guys. Because to me, Kerfoot is actually well-placed. Like, he and Tavares fit. He and Nylander fit. He's been going all season long. There's nothing really to do with him. You can sort of move him wherever you want in the lineup right now, and I kind of think Kerfoot fits. I think the real question is just, do you end up going back to a super line? Do you have Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and have Tavares with some grunts? Because if you're only getting the expected goals for that you're getting with Tavares right now, if you're only getting the offense that you're getting from Tavares right now, then I'm saying, hey, bump it up, change it up. Let's have a different look that way.
Very much dependent on how this goes. If there are a 1 and 2 on this road trip, I could see that being a shakeup.
But you're already, like, the thing is here, you've already tried all the different machinations of Marner flipping with Nylander. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Bunting's on the first line and Richie's moving around. There's no more Nick Ritchie top six to me. It's just, it's done. You can have it in a desperate spot if there's an injury at this point. But to me, it's like, hey, man, you're coming out of the lineup when Mikheyev comes back.
Yeah.
And now you're on the third line. That's where they would love to put Mikheyev, is with Kampf and Kasha. and Mikheyev, and all of a sudden that actually feels like an incredible, incredible line.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, based on the original timelines, were maybe only about 2 weeks away from.
I haven't heard much, though.
It's no, neither crickets. Have I, but the original timeline was about 2 weeks from now. It was
we need a Mikheyev
like second
insider.
Week of December-ish.
Okay, is he the gold? Is he Gold Star? Like that company,
Russian group,
yeah, the Russian group.
Yeah, I would assume.
Get him on the line.
And he definitely is because the other day someone was on here saying don't mess with Gold Star.
Right.
I think it was Stewie. Either way, I wonder if they just do they flip Nylander with Bunting.
Yeah, I mean,
we just got a text on the text line, the MNM line. That's Matthews, Nylander, and Marner.
Uh huh.
I tell that guy to go lose himself. Get it.
Yeah, I do.
Good one, Blake.
That was pretty good. Sometimes you're like, now I get to see how your tweets happen in real life. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it. I want to see those guys produce. I'm not worried about Matthews Marner. Overall, I'm not really worried about the team. And even if they end up dropping two or three, again, big process over results. Let's see how it happens.
Do you think we see Joseph Woll get a start on one of these three games?
I don't see why they would.
No, they don't. They don't have a back-to-back until December 4th, 5th.
Mm-hmm. I just don't see why they
Ryan
would.
Especially, unless things go poorly.
Well, unless they have...
I mean, he is undefeated.
Even then, like, how bad would Campbell have to play in one of these games?
Pretty bad.
You'd be like, oh, we're going with Joseph Woll in a non-back-to-back situation.
I don't think it would be that to me. It would be more of they have those fatigue stats that organizations have where they say, you know, we know this guy needs a breather here, so we're going to take him out. Or we know that some kind of stretch is coming up and we're going to be leaning, blah, 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 blah. We know something you don't know when it comes to his physical state, so we're going to give him a blow here. That's the only way that I see it. Because, like, the money thing, they're definitely not screwing around with that. They don't care. They know that if best case scenario is that that guy needs a monster deal at the end of the year. That's what you want, is for Jack Campbell to command crazy kind of money or him to say, I'm entering free agency as the number one goaltender.
As long as he signs with the Maple Leafs.
Well,
on a nice, friendly deal and
you
also
hope.
Represents Canada at the Olympics somehow.
So let's take a break. Let's come back and do the best part of the show. It's the Fan Morning Show.
Woo!
Alias 4-4, Blake Murphy, JD Bunk, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
That's the sound of me crinkling this bag of chips that I brought in today for no reason at all. I currently have 63 message requests on Instagram about these chips. Mm-hmm. And I have not...
The simps are furious that they blew their chance. They didn't.
Simp
they,
season.
The simps didn't realize that Ailish was going to mobilize for chips this quickly.
Yes.
So... A couple things. One, Ailish now has the new Miss Vicky's flavor of chip. What are they called?
Sweet spicy sweet. And spicy ketchup. Yeah. We secured the bag yesterday.
Get that bag, King.
So, people are waiting. Like, I feel like I have a lot of power right now.
Do.
Can I ask a more procedural question?
Yes.
Those 65 Instagram DM requests, are you going to go through and individually delete them, or are you now a person that just has a
just
massive log of, okay.
It's a lot of pressure to respond to everyone.
So,
well, no, I'm not saying respond. I'm saying just individually delete them even, or you're just a person who has 65 message requests forever now.
Anyway, see, low priority.
That's why you follow me on Instagram. Come to old JD because he goes into the DMs.
What I'm
going to
say.
Out he
you're also
people.
Not a woman in the sports industry.
You know what, though? This actually is a reminder, though. Shut up about that.
I'm already getting texts. Let's get down to business.
Let's get down to business. Because that's the song.
Yeah. But also.
Yes. Stop DMing me on Twitter, people, because they go to that weird little folder where it's like message requests and I don't see them forever, and then I end up randomly in there and find them. DM on Instagram if you have to ask questions. So the chips.
So,
it was a process. It was a journey, but we are here.
Yeah.
Can I just get, like, you're going to do your chip review. I'm just going to tell you that I'm a little nervous given that you came in here today with a bag that's already cracked.
Right.
The bag is almost full. And I know you didn't eat one of those because that's like a garbage bag size chip.
They're huge bags. This is 550-gram bag, which is bigger than the ones you buy in the store.
Yeah.
This is Costco.
And it doesn't look like you ate a lot of chips out of the bag.
Stop analyzing the bag.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm nervous because I have high hopes for these. I have high hopes.
All right. By the way, this is almost three times the size of a regular bag you'd get at the grocery
store. Correct.
That's a 200 gram.
So you know what time it is.
Now, it's time for...
Let us A.
A.
The A-List.
A.
So on the A-List today... Couple other things. Let's just get those out of the way. Nobody cares.
No. Yep. Do the chips
no,
first.
No. I have to talk about sports. Okay. That's why I'm here. So GQ put out the 18 best new menswear items to buy this week. GQ's, they're the style guide. They're good if you're looking for shopping for anyone in your life. Mm. So they put in 18 items ranging from... a $750 t-shirt, a $500 pair of pants, mm-hmm. et cetera, some leather penny loafers, just a bunch of stuff. But in their list, at the very bottom, one of their, they left the best for last, is Nike Canada soccer replica jersey. They think that the Canada soccer jersey is one of the hottest menswear items to buy. I just thought that was really cool. GQ is an American thing. This is the American site. And they're saying, if you haven't yet witnessed the single greatest goal celebration of 2021, do yourself a favor and fix that immediately. And then offering people to buy this jersey because Canada soccer is that hot.
Kind of hate it.
Oh, JD.
It's our thing. Stay out of it, GQ. Like, leave it for the real fan. What, I want some guy wearing his $700 pants or whatever and
with
also
the
a Canada jersey?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you like Canada?
Style.
Oh, you like Kyle Larin? No, I bought it because GQ. Okay.
That's chips. Just putting them on the map. Next on the A-list, Giannis had a fun tweet last night. You won't believe me, but a kid just told me to try dunking my Oreos in milk. Man, game changer. Hashtag mad my girl didn't tell me sooner. Hashtag new bedtime snack.
Okay. So Giannis has done this before, right? With the food stuff. What is it?
Smoothies,
yeah.
I won the NBA championship. I'm going to go through the drive-thru for free chicken nuggets.
I think this is a put-on. Who doesn't know about cookies and milk? Honestly, like not having a smoothie, okay, fine. The chicken nuggets thing, fine. Cookies and milk is like they don't exist separately from one another. They're advertised together constantly. Like it's always, if you see an ad for a cookie, it's beside a glass of milk. So the idea that Giannis, some kid, I used to do this segment on Good Show Today on Liars Who Lie. This is a Liars Who Lie. Giannis, listen, you don't need to win us over anymore. We already think that you're America's sweetheart. There's no need to do this. This is a put on. This is BS.
Maybe he's exaggerating a little bit, but having read Giannis's story, I do think that like Oreos would have been new to him once he came to America.
Sure.
And the story about him exploring all these new foods and stuff like that is... For the first several years of his career, the team just was like, here's a chef, eat all this stuff. And it was primarily healthy stuff because he had to just like protein load to get to the size he is. I believe him that he maybe wasn't indulging in Oreos at that point.
I'm not saying he wasn't Mr. Oreo or that he was Mr. Oreo rather. I'm saying the idea that he's trying to play up the cuteness with this.
Sure.
And I'm not for it. We already think you're cute. You already get enough cute credit, Giannis. This is fake. This is fake news. Oh, cookies and milk. Oh, I'm mad at my girl because she didn't tell me how. That's bull. This is bull. What's the Bucks record right now? Are they over 500 yet?
Are you going to say that they're struggling because Giannis cares more about cookies and milk than basketball?
No, I'm saying that they're 10-8.
Yeah.
I'm saying that this is like a, hey, don't ever, like, I know we've sucked, but don't forget about me. I'm the sweetheart. Here's this little sweetheart tweet. Let's talk about me being the sweetheart. Cookies and milk, game changer. Shut up, Giannis.
What's Speaking next? Of food.
Yes, finally.
Let's just give a quick rundown for those that might not know why this is so important.
So you take a potato.
So a couple weeks ago, I put on my Instagram story, me holding the bag of Miss Vicky's spicy dill pickle, which is a new flavor. JD responds saying, "You are a monster. This is disgusting. You have a trout mouth. You're a horrible human. Get off the show."
That's not how it happened.
Someone mute him.
It's fake news again. So, more fake news.
I was like, that's inaccurate. These are the best chips I've ever had. I had copious amount of people saying these are the best chips I've ever had. And then a million people also saying, "You just put me on these chips. Oh my God. Oh my God. You've changed my life. Thank you so much, Ailish. Sportsnet should give you a raise."
I kind of feel like this is actually how you see things.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way.
I have a bunch of people. Like, what'd you call my fans?
The four farmy.
The four farmy. Like,
doesn't
my little
sound
army.
As good as
doesn't
it
sound.
Yeah.
It looks better good on text.
Yeah.
So it's become basically my defining moment in this industry is me and the chips. So, amongst all those messages, a lot of people were like, "Ailish, there's a new flavor, another new flavor, the sweet and spicy ketchup. You got to get it. Trust me." People sending me, you know, offers to get it for me. You can only buy this at Costco currently. Like, we combed the internet. Blake found a loophole to get them delivered to me. Yesterday, during the show, I ordered the chips. I got home there on my doorstep. I waited
along
till
with your, you know,
I also bought 40 rolls of toilet paper, which I had to stash into like my fridge. Like, there's no room for 40 rolls of toilet paper, regardless.
All of Ailish's.
Like, you come over, you open my drawers, and there's like toilet paper stuff in there.
You go, you come over to Ailish's place, you get a visit, you leave you with leave a little goodie bag of toilet paper.
You can't like, buy like roll. Anything less than 40 of an item. But
I know that Ailish doesn't get what we're talking about when we call her Ricky with the messing up all the sayings, but also the fact that like yesterday's show was basically just like Blake chips.
Yeah, I was like,
Corey,
find them,
Corey, Blake. Trevor chips.
I just love that some guy did a Costco run for you where all he picked up was giant bags of chips, toilet paper, and cat food, and he dropped that off. He's like, "This is the loneliest woman."
He was like, "This girl is disgusting.
Why does she need so much cat food? She's gonna die alone, and the cat will just eat her."
All right, enough. So I waited patiently until it was appropriate time to eat chips yesterday, which I thought was after my dinner. Okay, so I sit down, I crack open the bag, the sweet aromas of spicy and sweet ketchup fill my nostrils. Okay. I reach into the bag.
Yeah.
The texture of the chips is unlike none other.
Well, yeah.
That crunch. I take my first bite, and I'm disappointed.
I knew it.
I'm disappointed because I had lived this fantasy world that these would blow my mind.
Pass them over. Let me
They're
have
here.
One.
They're here.
Let me have one. I want to eat one as you're describing it.
So I thought, okay, let me have a couple more. They're fine. They're not life-changing. The spicy dill pickle blew my absolute mind. The spicy dill pickle was more elite than the salt and vinegar. These are a top three in their Miss Vicky's. The reason why, and JD's eating them right now, is the sweetness is still too powerful. If you're going to make spicy and sweet like your thing, there's not enough spice. Do you feel that? The kick isn't there. Whereas the spicy dill pickle, you get that kick. Like, you're like, wow, this is substantial. He's just munching chips at 6:45 in the morning here.
Well, I needed to cleanse the palate because I have coffee mouth. So I'm still in the phase of, you know, getting a feel for the chip.
What are your thoughts?
I gotta tell you, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, it's not.
No, but like, because
you like them. They're good ketchup chips, but they're not like game changing.
So
chips.
I really like ketchup chips.
So do I.
And I'm not used to having ketchup chips with this texture.
Well, that's the thing that is selling. Is the Vicky, Miss Vicky's has the best texture in all of chips. So basically they made a better version of Lay's ketchup chips.
Yeah.
But that, the spice factor.
I got to mute again. I got to try.
Yeah,
Try again. There's a little bit of after spice though. That's where you get the spice. It's like it's sweet. You feel like you're eating
Did the spicy dill pickle not just instantly blow you away? This is more of a slow rise.
I got to tell you. I think that I could eat more of these than the dill pickles.
Well, because they're not as powerful. The dill pickles, you have like a bunch and you're like, oh, that got me good. These are more subtle. I'm so sorry for those of you that thought that this would be a bigger revelation on air.
Or that
I like them.
Like my brother ran out the Costco.
I didn't say that I didn't like them. Fan. I said they were not better than the spicy dill pickle, though.
They're different, but I would rather have these than the spicy dill pickle.
Because you're soft and you're scared of the spice.
I didn't come here to be judged by you. I judge you on
your chips. So I brought everyone little goodie bags of Ziplocs to put some chips in because I can't give everyone an entire bag. They're huge.
I mean, this is my bag, so
you can. You got your grubby little hands.
They're going to have to figure this out. I'll tell you this: there's no doubt that this would. I will buy this chip.
Yeah,
but
they're
get it,
fine.
But I'm not doing what you did, where it's like woman order.
The amount of like extra fees I paid to get these yesterday too, like Costco plus a delivery service plus a tip.
No, JD's going to do he's going to get like three giant tubs of protein powder, some one-a-day multivitamins, and a bunch of bags of chips.
I never eat this early.
Your fast is over.
Your IF is going to be all messed up.
Anyway, they're fine. They're a 7 out of 10. Spicy dill pickle's a 9 out of 10.
See, I would say that spicy dill pickle is I think, what did I say last time? 7.8? 8.2?
You said they were phenomenal.
They are phenomenal.
Get
That's a high
better.
Ranking for chips. Again, the highest rated chips are Doritos. That's the best ones. I think we all agree that Doritos are the best chips, right? If you only have one chip that you can go to an island with, it's like that, or it's Miss Vicky's. But Miss Vicky's, let's be honest, salt and vinegar is a top tier chip.
It is, and it was dethroned by spicy little pickle.
No, that's where I draw the line. You went too far with it. I would say that.
Ask all the people that agree with me.
I don't know. I need more time. I need more time with these.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wasn't like, oh my God, right away I have a take.
Spicy dill pickle, I need a break from those. Like, those are just mouth destroyers. This feels like I could...
Like when you called me, like, trout mouth.
Yeah, you are trout mouth. You're trash. I called you trash mouth and you're trout mouth. Yeah.
Regardless. We just got two texts in the text line, both about Miss Vicky's sweet southern barbecue.
Someone says,
I have to message in and tell you about Miss Vicky's sweet southern barbecue. Nah. They're the best ones. Give it the respect. Sean from Pickering. Nah. And then another text right after about that. So may the saga continue.
I will never. Here's the thing. I will end up getting the spicy dill pickles. I already told you I bought them the other day, right?
Incredible.
They're really good. They're just a different flavor.
I think what needs to happen next is I have a bowl of spicy dill pickle beside the spicy ketchup, and I just need to let them marinate.
You know what the problem is?
No, they've already marinated. That's the whole point of flavored chips. You don't have to marinate them on their own.
Marinate into my mouth.
We have to go, but you know what the real issue here is? I'm not sure if I want a ketchup chip that I would go to this before I would go to...
Ruffles?
No.
Lay's?
No. Versteeg and I are...
Hers.
No. Hostess? What's the ones that Hostess makes?
Those are Twinkies.
No. I think it's... Anyway, I'll figure it out during the break, but it's the other one. The ones that are like blasted, you know? That
flavor blasted. Yeah, I've seen them.
No. They're the old school ones. Something Farms? Old... Anyway,
Cape
Windmill.
Cod.
There's the Windmill is their logo. Forget it.
Someone
I like that you said
in.
We have to go and then spent a minute trying to think of a brand of chip.
Anyway, more chip talk to continue, I'm sure, in my lifetime.